Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine, November 17th, 2020. We are now publishing the Ask Catherine section of the weekly commentary on Wednesdays, so I try to record on Tuesdays. We include questions sent to askcatherine@celeria.com and some selected items posted at subscriber input that have not been answered or may be of interest. Please check out, every day there's a richer discussion at subscriber input, so there's lots of good intelligence advice, recommended links, and questions, as well as at the individual commentary, so I hope you check it out. We're organized by categories. You can see the categories listed in the notes, so let's just dive in. Cash and precious metals. The question is, help! I cannot believe I found you. I'm a 68-year-old, newly awake woman who spent my former life as a liberal Democrat. I'm having a very hard time with all of this since the few lifelong friends I have shared my firm reviews and still do. I'm isolated and relying on online connections, which is not working out very well. Remember, all online stuff is subject to enormous entrainment and mind control technology. I'm having great difficulty meeting my tribe. Yes, that is always the way it is at first. You know, just keep putting out the intention that you want to meet your tribe, and I assure you, you can. My 77-year-old husband is marginally accepting some of my new views. He used to handle the money and not very well, especially when you have this revised perspective on the world. I'm struggling to make changes and trying to play catch-up. I made my first metals buy and joined an organic CSA. Make sure on the metals, no numismatics. So you want to buy as close to spot price bullion coins or as possible. Anyway, lots of great stuff in precious metals in the Celeria report. Found a good local bank. That's excellent. A good local bank is your transaction backbone, and having a good relationship there is important. So develop that relationship. Just sold our former house. We recently moved to Southwest Florida. Just sold our former house in Virginia the end of September and frantically trying to figure out what to do with the money. I have emailed, I think you mean Leith Harmon, asking if she would take on a new client, but haven't heard back yet. Now, make sure whenever you contact a professional, don't depend on emails. Emails are not dependable and getting less so. So make sure you pick up the phone and call. And if there's any way you can meet people in person, you always want to meet them. We already bought a house, but sure would like to hear where the great pockets you spoke of are in Florida. Make sure you let customer service know you want to be included in Florida groups. Just send an email to customerservice@celeria.com. And we're putting together local gathering groups, so it seems like you need to connect. I would also encourage you to find the local Weston Price and local food groups. It's often the local food groups and people dedicated to sort of natural health where you can find people to work with in very practical ways, particularly on fresh food. So I would encourage you to do that and see what local magazines there are or Florida magazines there are to help you find the fresh food assets. If you haven't listened to the first quarter equity overview, we go through a lot of important things to do. So I would go back and look at that transcript. Be very careful of fear porn and hope porn internet sources, let alone the financial products they steer you to. So I'd be very careful of that. And great background is reading State of Our Currency, so make sure you do that. Anyway, you know, digest those things, and remember, this is a journey, it's never over, and you need to enjoy it. So don't let fear grab you and just turtle your way through the steps, but find those local food groups if you can. And anything you can do to make your home more resilient, you know, local food, energy, resiliency is very, very important. I hope you have a well. If you have a well, that would be great. Going direct reset. So the question is, old financial system long in the tooth. Hi, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber and long-time follower. I have also read a lot of Joseph Farrell's books. You mentioned the idea that central banks are using the pandemic as life support for the old long in the tooth financial system. Why is it long in the tooth? Is it old worn-out car? And then a series of more questions. You really need to read State of Our Currency. I put a link in the notes. This will answer all your questions as to why the dollar system is struggling in a variety of ways. First of all, it's been used and weaponized for quite a while to control, and the economies that are growing, they need currency to trade in, not to be controlled with. So there's tremendous tension there. There is no doubt that the people who manage the planet, particularly the people who believe in globalism, want central control, and crypto gives them much greater control than the dollar system. They also want to integrate robots and moving to a financial transaction system where everyone is linked and can be, whether it's their financial transactions or the mind control and spatial control is integrated into one system, is very, very convenient for central control. A very important trend is we're moving to a multi-planetary civilization, and so there's a desire for a central banking function that can speak for the entire planet. That's part of the push for global government. And the reality is digital technology solves the problems that they had with slavery, and so they can move back much more to a direct physical slavery system, which will be phenomenally profitable, particularly if you can mind control people so that they don't realize they're slaves. Anyway, I would strongly recommend, in addition to reading State of Our Currency, that you read and digest the links. I did a commentary a while back, mind control tactic used on young people and children, but they're also the ones used on all of us. And I would, in addition, recommend you watch TruStream Media's documentary, The Minds of Men, that was documentary of the year 2 years ago on the Salieri Report. Question, Chinese currency is a hedge. Please comment on purchasing Chinese currency as a hedge against a falling dollar in the future. By what method would you recommend that one invest in renminbi's yuan? Also, what will it take for China to discontinue pegging their currency to the dollar? So I think of hedging a falling dollar as really an issue of fiat currencies versus real assets. So the way to hedge against falling fiat currency is not with other fiat currencies, but with real assets. To the extent, when I was an investment advisor, to the extent that I needed a liquid currency that was an alternative to the dollar, I tended to use Swiss francs, just because the Swiss system is, I would say, more financially grounded and legally grounded than any other. But you want to be, the Swiss does not have a huge market share, but the yuan has a tiny market share as a reserve currency, and they've just been building out the liquid market. So I don't see it as something, I see yuan as a speculative position, not a cash or liquidity position. And if you're going to speculate, I can think of other things to speculate in. So I would wait until it's up to a 10 or 20%. You know, it gets in shooting distance of, surpasses the yen and shooting distance of the euro before I would consider it as a liquidity position. I think that China is unlikely to unpeg from the dollar until the global central bank crypto system is ready to go or working, or Mr. Global gives permission, which could come faster. So there's absolutely no way to tell when that will be. Because it's very fluid and dynamic right now. But I would watch the yuan market share in reserves if you want to track, and also the trading volume. Now, I have to say this. If you're considering putting money in the yuan before you finance a local fresh food system, that to me is an absolutely baffling approach. So if you want an investment, I think there are plenty of better investments. If you want liquidity, I'm not going to put something. To me, it's too speculative still to do it as liquidity. Okay, question. Becoming more financially independent in 2021. Great question from a 22-year-old subscriber. I really thought this was, you're really thinking about this correctly. So let me give you some feedback. So your question is, should you move back to Massachusetts where your parents are? And what should you do with your student loan debt? Here's what I would say. You're in Utah now. Utah, because of the Mormons' preparation and governance, is much safer than Massachusetts. And Massachusetts is one of the worst states for basically healthcare fascism and sort of dirty tricks. But at the same time, your parents are in a rural area. If they own their home and they've known their community, it may be safer for you. I would not take on another dime of debt to get a college degree. It's very useful to have the degree. So if you can finish your degree without taking on more debt, you know, maybe do it over time, do it slowly. Even more important than the debt is you cannot afford to waste your time on meaningless curriculum. You've got to take courses that have utility and give you an excellent education. So when you think about getting a degree, think about how much you're spending per course, but make sure that course has enormous utility. You need to build skills. Every skill you add to your toolbox is great. I've been talking with teachers now about what we can do to sort of improve what we offer in terms of curriculum. But if you look at what you can do to build skills on your own for free, just using, you know, online resources or books, you want to be really, really picky about what you spend in terms of getting that college degree. But I do think that getting the degree is useful. Bottom line, protect your time and your money ruthlessly. And the current educational system will go to great lengths to waste your time and money. So be very careful. I don't know if paying off the debt now is the best idea. I need to know a lot more about the particulars of your situation, your parents, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to leave yourself with no liquidity in this environment. But the faster you can pay it off, the better. And I wouldn't take on another. There is bound to be a way you can finish getting a college degree without taking on more debt. And one of the advantages may be, if you're in Massachusetts, accessing the state system since you grew up there and your parents are there. Question: Russian charity tests new virtual food card to help victims of coronavirus economic hardship. Yep, there it is. Just note the war, you know, right now we're watching a war, and it's a war between the independent producers versus the people who print money. And the people who print money are trying to use, whether it's stimulus packages or food stamps or, you know, all these different mechanisms to buy you out of having your own financially and economically independent, resilient life. Okay, COVID-19. Question, preparing the public to blame themselves. Catherine, this appeared on BBC Today. Looks like public opinion is being trained for people to blame themselves for pharmaceutically induced illnesses. I'm looking for more content to appear along these lines. The title was More Statin Problems Caused by Mysterious Nocebo Effect. This one was off the chart. It's really funny. There's a long history of people being poisoned by different things, you know, pesticides, global spring, blah, blah, blah. And that the symptoms of that poisoning being defined as a disease and then, you know, using that as a way of protecting the liability for the poisoning. And so, you know, the road you're going down is a perfect example. If you want some great examples of how the game is played, read Forrest Moretti. He's one of the best sources of really how this game is played institutionally in a very top-down way. His book, Moth and the Iron Lung, on how they played it with polio, genius, Crooked, the autism vaccine, and it's a very old game. And this is why the germ theory debate is so important. I did a book review of all of his books, so you can read that and check out which ones you want to read. But understanding this game is so very important to unpacking the complete insanity of the Western healthcare system, which is important because the Western healthcare system has some just wonderful things in it, but you have to sort through enormous amounts of fraud. And to navigate it, you need to know the difference between fraud and the real risk. So, for example, in the United States, the pharmaceutical system has become highly dependent on the Chinese manufacturers. So I did a review of China X a couple of years ago. It's frightening. And, you know, you read stories of people who go into the hospital, their doctor prescribes a drug not realizing it's come from a system where the safety standards are not sufficient. And these drugs are just killing people. It's pretty frightening. So it's important to understand, you know, the brilliance and wonderful things accessible in Western medicine and then the risks and dangers. And Moretti's showing you the game is, to me, very, very helpful. Question, the ruling in the final Newsom lawsuit. Two posts on California legislator Kevin Kelly has brought a lawsuit, and I think it looks like he won the first round, and Newsom is appealing. This is against the governor. All across the United States and around the world, you have political leaders determining lockdowns and other policies that they literally do not have the legal authority to do without legislative authority. And of course, they can't get legislative authority because the science doesn't back up what they want. Newsom, of course, is coming up with the most COVIDian cult-like instructions for Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner, and he got caught out going to a birthday party with no mask. You know, and it's funny, it's another one of these pandemic hypocrites. The PDF for the injection fraud wrap-up will be posted by the end of this week. The funniest section, I don't want to give it away, is pandemic hypocrites, because we collected up a lot of the worst examples. And it shows you that the people doing this, promoting the rules for the COVIDian cult, you know, they know this is total BS. They're inflicting economic warfare, and they're no more worried about getting sick than the man in the moon. Not to say that we're not dealing with physical sickness in a variety of forms. You know, as you know, I believe whatever the vascular distress that's happening, I believe it can be turned on and off. So I never underestimate their ability to turn on the killing machine. Question, SARS-CoV-2 grown in human respiratory tissue cultures by Polish group. Please ask John Rappaport. So this is from a wonderful doctor, SARS-CoV, who I had a long dialogue back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I didn't publish all of our discussions, but SARS-CoV-2 is likely to kill about one in every 1,000 Americans in the first year infecting our population. After that, it will likely be less deadly. That is not correct. That number is just not correct. And I sent a long description on why it's not correct. And it's just not correct. I mean, so far, COVID-19 has killed approximately, as of 6 weeks ago, 10,000 people in America, according to the CDC. So one in 1,000 just ain't true. Okay, this virus grows well in green monkey kidney cells, but it is difficult to grow in many other cell types. A group in Poland has shown the virus in human respiratory cell culture. It was published in July. Please look at this article. It's a convincing demonstration. Please show it to John Rappaport. Okay, so I showed it to somebody who has a deep knowledge of science, not John. And here's what they said. Hi, this article is scientific nonsense, easily seen by anyone who knows or cares about scientific integrity. Here's what they did. Originally, someone took snot from some person who allegedly had COVID. Since they couldn't find the virus in the snot by the usual meth isolation purification procedures, instead they inoculate the unpurified snot on monkey kidney tissue. Since it actually won't grow on the monkey kidney tissue, they starve the tissue with minimal nutrient medium and poison the tissue with kidney toxins. The toxic brew then this breaks down into what is called the inoculate instead of the real name, which is witch's brew. This is then inoculated on starved and poisoned human tissue, which naturally breaks down even further, producing a variety of exomes and just general debris. One part of this is then called the novel coronavirus because it matches to a PCR test segment, which interestingly has also been shown to match to a segment on human chromosome number 8. This is fraud, and only a scientifically illiterate person could claim this demonstrates the existence of the virus of that which is a pathogen. Okay, so this is a perfect example. You know, there's been a lot of writing about why peer-reviewed scientific studies have reached the point where they're meaningless, but this is a perfect example of why. There's so much crap in the scientific literature, and if you know, I ought to get somebody on to really go through why you shouldn't. You have to be very, very careful. Because somebody like me reading this, you know, I'm not going to know. You need a deep knowledge of science to unpack this one. So, question, interview with Dr. Bhakti, re-COVID. Catherine, I know you will find this interview with Dr. Bhakti the most cogent and profound attack on the COVID hoax this far. Oh, please consider embedding it in your website. I send my best as always. Yes, so I posted and tweeted it out, and I have tremendous regard, or everyone I know in Switzerland and Germany holds him in the highest of regards. They can't say enough good about him. And I have the book that he wrote with his wife. They're heroes in the new injection fraud wrap-up in the Pandemic Hero section. So I really appreciate your sending that because he's an impeccable source. Okay, the feedback section. Question, Pentagon leadership. Any comments or observations on the replacement of Pentagon leadership? I see Kash Patel, a man to watch, named the new acting defense secretary as chief of staff. No, I'm watching and reading and trying to understand it, but it very much depends on what happens with the elections. So I'm waiting to see. Question, the McCarrick Report. The McCarrick Report is a report on pedophilia, priests involved in basically child abuse. Let's see. Any plans to read the McCarrick Report? Interesting timing of release after waiting for it over a year. No, I wasn't planning on reading it. The pedophilia networks at the Vatican were part of running a political control file and organized crime cash flows. It's not just control files. It's sort of political benefits, personnel benefits. It was very institutional, and it was necessary for their business model. It wasn't, you know, now they're trying to write it off to horny priests, but the reality is it was an institutionalized system. So these reports to me are usually modified hangouts, although you can find nuggets in it. The outing and cleaning up of that system is part of moving to a much more echelon and NSA-driven control file system. But the pedophile networks continue. And if you look at what's happening with COVID-19 and the contact tracing and all the different developments in education, you know, you're moving to the capacity to institutionally explode the size and scope of pedophilia. And they're working very hard to try and make it legal. And they're going to turtle their way through, you know, inch by inch by inch. So the sort of outing of the old systems don't do a lot. Now, my understanding is that part of this was a hit on Cardinal Vigano, who's been writing great pieces outing sort of the COVID-19, what's been happening, and the election frauds. So it wouldn't surprise me if one of the reasons it came out was to sort of ding him. If there's a reason you would recommend I read it, let me know. Again, you know, right now, if you look at all the stuff I know I must read, like Bhakti's book, I'm way behind what I want to do. So I try not to read anything that's not spot on. Okay, no questions in health. We got a great one coming up from Bridget on the importance of sunlight. So stay tuned for that. Local gatherings, there's a tremendous amount going on with Darlene training people who want to gather. A lot of people who want to gather. It's a little bit slowed down by both the election and the holidays. I think we're going to start to see some real connections, and they're helpful because there are many, many people who are, you know, who don't want to join the COVID cult. You know, there are plenty of people around, so it's a matter of connecting up. Then one question came in. I just wanted to read this. There was a discussion at Subscriber Input, many great discussions this week, but a discussion about place and, you know, sort of finding the right place. So let me just read this. I looked into going international for nearly a decade and even purchased property in Europe. They checkmated me, whereas I anticipated the possibility of not being able to leave. I never anticipated the possibility of the world shutting its borders. I now have property in France that I cannot access. Even so, despite speaking the language fluently, I realized that I would be at a great disadvantage trying to navigate the squeeze in a land foreign to me. My strongest instinct is to flee, and it has been a challenging process realizing that it's not an option. That said, some places are and will be better than others. I relocated to a community where people value freedom and are less brainwashed than other places. Many people here are descended from pioneer families have been on this land for many generations. They grow food, raise cattle, have tools, and know how to organize together as a community. Unfortunately, I have to leave this place soon and we'll be heading to Florida, but I want to come back. Yes, you know, people who are not in the cult are the best people to be around, and people who know how to live resiliently are the best people to be around. It's why I moved to Hickory Valley and kind of never left, even though everybody in California kept saying, why aren't you going to move to California? So this subscriber gave excellent advice. I have several subscribers who are now looking for where they're going to move to within the United States. And they've found Joel Skalskin's books. I haven't read them recently, but they have lots of rich intelligence on places. I don't always agree with him, but if you're looking for a book that really helps you understand sort of different places around the country. I think they're good. It's funny, I had a twinge of homesickness this week. I was looking at our choice for the Thanksgiving music, which is Mary Chapin Carpenter's song. For the last couple of Thanksgiving, I've gone over and had Thanksgiving with folks in the Panhandle, the Texas Panhandle, and I love the Texas Panhandle. I think I love that big sky country, and I love the people there. And so when you wrote, many people are descended from pioneer families and have been on this land for many generations. They grow food, raise cattle, have tools, and know how to organize together as a community. Bingo. So between your post and Mary Chapin Carpenter, I got very homesick for Thanksgiving on the Panhandle. But I also have to say I'm with wonderful people in a wonderful place, so I'm very grateful. Shadow work. Question. Population control by turning men against women. Can you send me more info? Okay, so then you describe your interest. This is a topic that interests me tremendously, and I've done a lot of studying on it, and I've had a lot of personal experience. A lot of the covert operations targeted at me during the litigation were designed to get me to hate men. It's very interesting to watch. It's very interesting to be the target of it. But, it's the worst trap. Anyway, what I did was I recommend you start with the Promoting Women series. I put a link in the notes. But I would also listen to Deep State Tactics because they are very much related. And I have to tell you, if you want some good chuckles, the C.J. Hopkins work, which we'll talk about next week, his interview will publish next week. If you're interested in the sort of, the attack on men or the attack on women or, men versus women, he's got some really funny stuff in there. Take action. Patriot George Webb says, if necessary, Trump in office for 2 years until the election is certified. Okay, so there's a lot of interest in the election fraud. Someone, one of the subscribers, Josh, posted a very excellent comment, and it goes right to the heart of what I think. So let me just read you what he wrote. I know you addressed your comment to Catherine, but if you don't mind, I would like to share my input. I've been following this. Something is definitely happening, but the degree to which the Republican effort to reverse the mountain of election irregularities remains to be seen. The key here is that many of the Republicans that lost within a 6% margin are refusing to concede and are being instructed to participate in or create lawsuits, which I think is unusual. My speculation is that internal party intelligence informed them that the higher-ups have some damning evidence, and particularly about the Dominion voting machines to be presented in court. Let me stop for a second. What's interesting about the Dominion voting machine is I believe they do have very damning evidence, but if you look at some of the sort of peripheral facts, so a lot of the software and software engineers for Dominion being in Serbia or different servers, doing the counts being in Spain or Frankfurt or Europe for Dominion and other systems. So there's a lot of anecdotal facts that are very useful in the court of popular opinion. They may not work in court, but it's not illegal to have offshore software software engineers anyway, but very useful in court because the Democrats hit so hard on foreign interference in election. So you know, that's right. He continues, most of the signals I'm seeing indicate that Republicans intend to go straight at the heart of the election interference by attacking the validity of the machines and the software. Whether or not this effort will be successful is still unknown, but in my opinion, it is the right tact, and if successful, would cause a Trump victory as well as numerous House seats and possibly some Senate seats going Republic. That's my read of the situation for what it's read. I think that's an excellent assessment. I would also add that there is good evidence of paper ballot fraud in PA and possibly some of the other states, and they may do something as well. And I think it's still not clear to me how significant the Republic effort is. One of the focuses is going to be hold the Senate, which means they got to win in Georgia. But unfortunately, what this all means is the backdoor deals are flying, which means both factions are buying support by giving away the store. So the problem with one of the many problems with a fraud, this much fraud in the election system, is everybody's trying to buy their way back out onto the top. And that means the pro-centralization team is going to buy their way to the top by selling us all down the river. I would note one of the reasons that there is a focus On Dominion is Sidney Powell, who is Mike Flynn's attorney. Former prosecutor is out talking about the evidence that she and her team have on this, on the Dominion fraud. I would just say this: Sidney Powell is highly competent. She is a person of integrity. She is worth supporting in all cases. If she thinks she's got the goods, then, you know, she really believes she does, and two, that means high, good chance she does. Now, whether she can make it stick in court in enough ways to get the Republicans over the top, it's another question, but she's somebody worth supporting in all cases. So she's competent, she's a person of integrity, and she certainly deserves our full support, in my opinion. Question: frustration about Mr. Global's motives. Hi, Catherine. After watching you and Daniel's vidchat, I notice a sticking point concerning Mr. Global's incomprehensive sociopathic actions. And then you describe your concept of the spiritual forces at work. And I put that in the notes. I don't know. I think there are too many unanswered questions. Dr. Farrell and I go through them pretty much every wrap-up. You know, the big question is, who is Mr. Global and Mr. Global's team? Are they human? Are they ET? Are they interdimensional? I have no idea. Richard Dolan's coming out with a new book, and I'm looking forward to it. It goes to the heart of some of those questions. And I don't know, what are the risk management issues that Mr. Global is dealing with? I think if I could have anything, it would be a list of the 10 risk management issues that keep Mr. Global up at night. That's what I would love to know. Conclusion. I just want to say special thanks to Rich, who's one of the IT pros, and other IT pros have been sharing ideas on technology. It's really appreciated. We have a great IT team, but I never get the kind of rich answers I do when you all jump onto subscriber import. I also want to thank Benjamin for his information on V-stenography and the power of symbols. I said this when I posted. If there's one thing, you know, if I could get a time machine and go back and do college and university all over again, I would spend so much time studying historical symbology because I think it's so very important and so interesting. Again, I just want to make sure everybody's focused. We're watching a war between the independent producers and the central bankers. It's intensifying. This is not right versus left or Republican versus Democrat. It's the people who want to be financially and economically independent and free, and the people printing who want control. And the war is intensifying. Additional resources. Please read State of Our Currencies if you haven't. The injection fraud wrap-up will be posted in PDF form this week and will go to the printer this week. Just remember, particularly if you're a new subscriber, the wrap-ups are the place where we go deep on one important trend, a trend that you need to know about that's good for, you know, 20, 30 years. So if you haven't explored the big themes on the past wrap-ups, I would really encourage you to do it. On the homepage, bottom left, you'll see covers for all the wrap-ups, and it makes it really easy after you've logged in to access all the wrap-ups. So remember, send your questions to askcatherine@solari.com or post at Solari Input. If you didn't get your question answered or to your satisfaction, feel free to send more questions or follow-up questions, or let us know if you did not get what you need, because we want to make sure you get what you need. So, ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to Money and Markets tomorrow with John Titus, and have a wonderful Wednesday.